Next on BYUSN, when are the Cougars going to name a starting quarterback? We've got the latest in the quarterback battle from practice. Transfer linebacker Jack Kelly breaks down his confidence in Jay Hill's defensive system and where the defense is most improved.
Plus, projected starting left tackle Caleb Etienne details the impact of Coach T.J. Woods and why he's so confident that he and the offensive line will be much improved this year. And Top 5 Tuesday features the best season-opening wins in the Kalani Sitake era. Let's go. This is how we're doing Tuesday.
Did Sam Houston make it from last year? Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. It is Tuesday, August 20th. I am Jerem Jordan. It is great to be back.
Welcome back.
He is football perspectivist Dave McCann.
Yeah, and you know what? The NFL tweeted out this thing yesterday, I think, adds a lot of perspective, depending on which side of the line you're on. Look at this. They say, nobody will remember if you came to their wedding, if you missed their birthday party, if you skipped Sunday brunch. People will remember that you watched football, how much football you watched, and how much you love to watch football. So I posed the question, when did Satan become the head of NFL advertising?
We love football around here, but we love some other stuff
more.
Let
me tell you, football's awesome in perspective,
because
then it adds spice to the life we lead.
Yes.
But it is all about us. I remember my brother and I wore a wire into church because the Super Bowl was on when we were little kids.
Yep.
And we got busted halfway through sacrament meeting by our mom. We're like, what gives? And she goes, you two have never sat that still in
Wait
any
a
meeting
minute.
Ever.
Okay.
She knew something was
she
up.
Knew.
And
when
we were busted.
When Tiger Woods won the Masters that last time, like 4 or 5 years ago,
yeah.
I had an AirPod in sacrament meeting. I really did. I had to partake of
now. Here's the difference between my story and yours. I was like 7.
I'm emotionally 7 sometimes. I've been gone 7 weeks. It's great to be back. Super excited to be with
family's
you,
Dave. Family's good.
Yep, family's
new kid's good.
Little baby Paige is 6 weeks old.
Awesome.
Doing good.
Love that name.
Good. Yeah, thanks. We're having fun. Kids are in school. Let's go.
Let's go.
I decided, hey, 11 days before football, that's when I can come back, which is awesome.
Dun, I'm glad dun, you didn't dun, take dun, 3 months off. I'm glad you came back in time for
the
football.
Timing worked out. I didn't miss any games. But here we are, and all rise and shout, it's time for What's Trending.
In football, you got to have a quarterback.
There is a little bit more concern, especially for the receivers, because there's some continuity that goes into that.
In order to stay on the field, they have to continuously play at a high level.
They do, says the Reverend, the Dr. Derwin Gray. What's Trending is presented by BYU Food to Go, the MVP of your next event. BYU entering the final days of fall camp. They have not named a starting quarterback quite yet, Dave. Here's offensive coordinator Aaron Roderick yesterday after practice.
Haven't decided yet what we're going to do. I don't want to take it all the way to game time, but we do have some practice time left, and I feel like both of them are prepared. They've both had enough reps in camp that they could play in a game. And so we're working our way through it still.
Are you surprised that BYU has not named a starter quite yet? And when's the ideal time in your opinion?
Yes and no. I mean, we live in a world of news and information. They live in a world that doesn't want to put out news and information. And so they might just be fine having the two quarterbacks, doing what they're doing. They see them more than any of us. And in the media, we're reporting on it, and Cougar Nation wants to hear about it. And so then it's a topic every single time that an announcement isn't made. Could one be made this week? Could it be made tomorrow? Sure. Could it be made Thursday when they start Southern Illinois practice? It seems likely. But the fact that they haven't up until this point, it tells you two things as a speculator. One, they're both so good that it's hard to pick between the two. Or two, they haven't separated themselves because they are struggling. And the optimist goes with, well, they're both so good, we can't choose. Reality's going to reveal itself, that maybe they're not where they had hoped they would be, where one would just have surpassed the other. There have been times when we've said, I think Gary's going to be it. I watch him at practice, you interview him. And then there's times you interview Jake, and you watch Jake, I think it's Jake. I think as we sit here today on Tuesday, it's wide open. It could be either guy, whether they announce it tomorrow or Thursday or on August 31st.
It could be either guy.
Yeah.
And I'm like you, where what we've seen in practice, and that's one of the things that I was going to practice even though I was on paternity. I just wasn't coming in here. But
and you had a beard.
Yeah, well, now you outed me, but
I know.
No, I posted pictures.
Back.
It was out there. It was out there. I talked to Shane Reese. We were cool.
We'll call it a beard. But yeah, go ahead.
It was full. It was good. Is that both guys were good enough. They are playing well in practice. They have not distinguished themselves quite yet, which is fine. I I don't see why BYU needs to have this guy quite yet. I know there's the desire to want to know who the guy is. But, you know, Bill Parcells famously said, if you have two, you have none. I don't believe that, nor do I believe that BYU is going to play two against Southern Illinois. More on that in a moment. But I think this is okay. When you get into Southern Illinois prep, Thursday, as you mentioned, Monday, it's the week of, you need to know who the guy is, though. I don't think BYU is going to walk into Monday and not have announced, internally at least. Externally, they don't need to. They like to play it close to the vest, have a competitive advantage against Southern Illinois that they're preparing for both. Frankly, they should prepare for both anyway. Because when you have two that are capable, the moment that it gets a little weird, everyone's going to turn and look to that second guy, whether it be Jake or Gary. And if you're McKay or Trayson, you're like, yo, I'm right here too. Those guys battling for number three. We're down the road on that a little bit. But I'm not shocked, I guess. I did think we'd have it named by this point. But I'm with you. I think Thursday would be the ideal day, or by Thursday, internally. Whether we know that externally, we'll see. But will Pete Thamel be the one to break the news,
probably,
even though there's all
us media around here?
We're not going to break it on this show. BYU football is going to tell us.
It would be nice. I think, too, it's what we thought we would see is separation. Mm-hmm. And the fact that we haven't seen separation, okay. What we have to see is a big offensive line. What we have to see are receivers who don't drop passes. What we have to see are running backs who are getting more than 4 yards a carry. If those things are happening, there's going to be a genius behind the center, behind Connor Pay.
Oh, suddenly there's a run game and the quarterback looks good and play action.
If those things aren't happening, then it's like, that guy better be Ty Detmer. But Ty Detmer had all those other things. You know, Jim McMahon had all those other things. I think the great mystery of August 31st is whoever the guy is, are all the other things doing better than they were last year? Because had they been better last year, it wouldn't have mattered if it was Slovis or Retzlaff. BYU had a winning season, and they would have gone to a bowl game. And then we would have had a parade, because that was the first year of P5. So things are different now, but
metaphorically, I don't think not, actually.
It's quarterback you, but not all the pressure is on those two guys when you consider what they had to fix. And by all accounts, as reported daily on this show, they believe they've fixed them.
Yes, and I think if you suddenly get a decent, I didn't say good, decent run game, all of a sudden the quarterback's going to look better. Aaron Roderick's offense in the pass game is predicated on a run game setting up play action to get explosive plays.
Yeah.
Without that, it's tough. Last year, BYU was not good at, frankly, a lot of things on offense because they didn't have a run game. So the hope is that you get a run game. And we'll see if BYU decides to name the starter Thursday, Monday, externally. Again, it could be internally. My understanding is they have not told internally anybody who the starter is. They do not know yet. They told that to the media. That's the case. That's my understanding at the moment.
Yeah, and the players, even Max Hall had kind of been the theme coming into camp and told us the players will show the coach who the leader is.
To me, that has not been decided yet.
Right. Because you talk to guys, you get different takes. They're not going to have a team vote, right? But over the next day or two, I think it'll come down to decision time for the opener. What are we going to do for the next week and a half? Who's going to call the play? What play are we going to run for that quarterback? Yep. That has got to be known. You know, you just can't start Southern Illinois prep going, I don't know who's going to be our quarterback.
And all things considered, because Jake Retzlaff's been here for a season, do you start with him if all things are equal? Do you start with the incoming guy who's been here because you know that Gary's been at this level and won a Big 12 title with Baylor?
It's tough to unseat an incumbent, right, because they've just been there. They know their way around. We see it in politics all the time. And we see it in quarterback battles. And Austin Cawley and all the guys we've had on here have talked about, well, who knows the playbook the best?
And it's that would not, be Jake right now.
Yeah, that would be Jake. And it's not just, hey, the three plays we're going to do in this series. It's the audibles. It's the two-minute drill that all of a sudden just happened because we didn't think we were going to get the ball back in time.
It's the checks at the line. It's the managing the clock.
And been there and done that. Now Jake's 0-4 as a starter, but he's been in the system now for 2 years, right? That gives him the upper edge if it's come down to who just knows the playbook better.
Yes.
That can execute the offense.
Yes.
Now, who can make a broken play into an 80-yard touchdown, then you look to athletic ability and speed and all that stuff.
I'd give Gary just a slight edge in that regard.
Yeah, and his
Jake's a good athlete, too, and a runner. We didn't see him run a ton last year. That's because BYU was playing from behind so much. You've got to pass the rock.
Yeah.
When you're down 14, you can't just establish the run game, and BYU didn't have it.
And let's be honest, in practice, the arms look the same.
They look very similar.
They're both making throws.
Yes. Yesterday we saw two touchdowns in the red zone period that we were able to watch. Jake Retzlaff had some really nice throws. It was check down city on a couple of things, but like BYU was pushing it and aggressive. And also, when the media shows up, you're not going to give your best play.
Guys, we're
going
to
run
plan B.
The stuff that may be reported, right? So I think if all things are equal, that you go with Jake. If Gary goes ahead by a nod, you go with Gary. But we'll see.
If they do go with Jake, there's opportunities. You get inside the 10-yard line. That's when Taysom came in, when he was young and not the starter. It was, all of a sudden, it was like, okay, Taysom's going to take us in because he's a run threat. And Gary's 6'3", 235.
I don't like this idea at all.
But we've seen it time and time again.
They did it with Jaren Hall in 2018 at Boise State. You remember that with Zach as a freshman? I did not like that. Jake is a very capable runner. So I think it'd be weird to bring in Gary. But I hear you.
But you also brought Gary into play. You know, Gary came, he chose BYU, he's got 1 year left. So I think there's a feeling of we got to get him in. He's on the team. He can do some things. If they go with Jake. If it's
at
vice
that point,
versa,
just
then
snap
it might
to Parker Kingston. Who had two touchdown passes last year.
He's two for two throwing the football, the touchdowns. You got Parker as well. But then there's the notion, and we've only seen it a couple of times at BYU, but we see it around college football every so often, when there's two quarterbacks. And in theory, they could go, yeah, we just can't decide. We're going to play one the first quarter, one the second quarter, like the NFL handles preseason.
Don't do this.
That drives us nuts. But Kalani Sitake was asked about that after practice yesterday, about, hey, what about using two?
I'm not opposed to it, but I think that you have a competition for a reason. And we feel really good about the two quarterbacks. We feel good about the entire room. But I know I trust those two especially to go win games for us.
Except I do know that saying that if you have two quarterbacks, you don't have one. In today's game, if you don't have two quarterbacks, you don't have one. In October, after the first one got a concussion.
You need that depth for sure.
So you got to have that. So you have two, maybe three, and I like that. But, you know, Jim McMahon and Mark Wilson with Wally English as the coordinator tried it. Didn't work. They got Scoville back then, it started to work.
But both those guys hated that season. And they won't even say Wally's name.
And the next year, Lavelle's like, you know what, I'm not doing that. And he goes to Jim and he says, I'm redshirting you. I'm going with Mark. And
isn't
Jim can't
wild?
Believe it.
Lavelle redshirted Jim McMahon.
But those were two first-round NFL draft picks.
Yes, that was exceptional.
And remember, Jaren and Zach went to battle late in the camp.
Yep.
And they named Zach the starter right in the last week. We're not even in the last week of this camp. Well, we're kind of there. And those both are NFL quarterbacks.
Yep.
So when those are the case, I get it.
That's unique.
Yeah, and we won't know about the future of these two until things play out.
Yeah.
But as we look back and we learn from the past, because hindsight gives us a pretty clear vision, playing two quarterbacks at the same time as co-starters.
Not cool.
It's not great.
Don't like it. 2010, BYU did it with Riley Nelson and Jake
Heaps. Yeah.
And then, you know, they went with Jake later in the year as Riley got hurt. The band Boys Like Girls said two is better than one. Well, it depends what we're talking about. You need two quarterbacks. In this case, I believe that both will play this season. I'm not talking, you know, drive to drive. That's not going to be good for continuity here.
No.
Pick a guy, and if no one emerges, I think it's going to be Jake. I do. Because of his experience in the playbook, as you mentioned, because of his experience at BYU last year. Gary certainly has a better resume than Jake in terms of FBS level and whatnot. You know, won a Big 12 title. Didn't have his best game in the Sugar Bowl, right? But
he
navigated his team.
He managed a good season.
A Big 12 title.
And
right?
He beat BYU. He beat Jaren Hall. He managed a good season.
Barry Trammell last week, not a fan
of
Gary, but we certainly are here. So we'll see. Offensive coordinator Aaron Roderick also talked about the process of naming a starter. And here's what he had to say about that.
My experience with these things in the past is usually it's not my decision. At some point in camp, it becomes apparent to the whole team. You know, that's what happened when Zach was our starter. And then, you know, when it was Jaren's time, everybody knew Jaren earned it in practice. Everybody knew that Zach earned it in practice. Everybody knew that Keaton earned it last year. So I think there will be a time when it's obvious to everyone that somebody's earned it.
What if it isn't? Then I think Retzlaff gets it, as we talked about.
Yeah, and it has to come the next day or two. I mean, in theory.
Literally this week, right?
Yeah. Because you just can't go to – You just can't do a battle plan and go to war when you don't know who your captain is. You just have to know
that. And internally, that could be the case, and they could try and keep it out. It'll get out eventually. Externally, right? So we'll see what BYU does. But they feel like, and Kalani Sitake reinforced this, is we feel like we have two good ones. And he feels like he has three or four, given the experience of McKay Hillstead and Trace Bourget, who have started several games at the FBS level. You have four dudes who have played at least four games, right, in a meaningful way, which is nice. But will there be one that's good? Will there be one that wins you games? That is the question.
When camp started, on the first day, I went and interviewed Kalani for this show and asked him, don't you kind of really already know who your starter is? I mean, this is the game we're going
to
play, but
trying to squeeze
don't you guys really know? And I kind of expect him to say, we got a pretty good idea without announcing, because then the drama is still there. But he said, I'm not sure. Yeah. And I, now that we're 3 weeks later, I believe him. I believed him then, yeah. But now it's like, he's right, because no one is.
Yeah.
And that's because there hasn't been this giant separation, and all of Cougar Nation is hoping that that's because they're so good.
Yeah, look at it how you want. Oh, that's a negative. Why? Yeah. I think
what matters is August 31st.
Right. From what we've seen in practice, they both look good.
Yeah.
And there have been times where, yeah, they struggled, but I'm not sitting here going, oh, BYU has zero good quarterbacks. Right. Will there be one that emerges that wins you games when you need to drive down the field behind late in the fourth quarter? We shall see. Our question of the day is this. How do you feel about BYU not naming a starting quarterback yet? At the BMAX on X. Nervous.
Yeah.
I really washed last year clean from my memory. Still, I have this belief that offensive line play has more to do with quarterback success than talent at the position. BYU can run block. Bohannon and Retzlaff should be good enough to get BYU six wins.
Yeah,
I think the best friend of the quarterback is going to be that run game.
Yeah.
And a tight end.
And isn't Keanu every Hill quarterback's best that, friend? Right? Isn't it every year? I mean, Max had Dennis and he had Austin, but he had Harvey.
Harvey was the key.
And
there.
Harvey was the thing that made it
and
all work.
Second and five.
A linebacker
or less.
Had yep. to fear Harvey was going to get the football.
Yep.
Bryant T. Walker, 4 on X. I'm not worried about it because this shows me both quarterbacks are equally capable and are both able to start a game if one's injured.
Or inept. If they're not playing well, you'll see a switch. I hope we don't see that at any point this season, but let's be honest, chances are it likely happens when you have two capable guys because you're going. I don't like with Jaren Hall behind him in 21, 22, it was like, we don't want to go to the bench. So they played him hurt against Notre Dame. Remember that? Yeah. This is not that situation. Had Baylor Romney been in the mix, it's different when you turn to the sideline and you go, oh, I trust that guy.
That's BYU, different for everybody,
yes,
including the fans. Oh, good, Baylor's in.
Continue to weigh in on X, Facebook, and Instagram.
After further review rolls out later today, it's going to be a good one. We continue our player profiles, including tonight, Keanu Hill's transformation from receiver to tight end. How's that going? AFR starts at 7 Eastern. David Nixon, Blaine Fowler, and myself on the BYU TV app.
After the break, perhaps BYU's best defensive player, Jack Kelly, talks with Spencer Linton about fall camp. This is BYU Sports Nation.
This segment of BYU Sports Nation presented by BYU Food to Go, the MVP of your next event.
They have prepared these young men. This team is built different.
We're playing a lot faster, like way better than we were last year.
In steps Jack Kelly, who has gotten a lot of notoriety and attention. He knows Jay Hill's defense. He fits right in.
He's going to be making plays all over the field.
Welcome back to Studio B with your day-to-day Cougar Sports play-by-play on BYU Sports Nation. I'm Jeremy Jordan alongside Dave McCann. No bigger newcomer to the BYU football team in this offseason has made an impact and is expected to be awesome than linebacker Jack Kelly, who played for Jay Hill at Weber State and spoke with Spencer Linton Friday after practice.
Jack, when I say 2 weeks from tomorrow, BYU football will kick off the 2024 season, what goes through your mind?
Excitement. I can't really fathom the idea of that, but tomorrow I'm going to get a sneak peek at that with the scrimmage coming up. Obviously, I'm excited. I can't wait to see everyone packing out LES.
You and I talked last one-on-one after spring football. So now that you're here and well into fall camp, how do you feel like you have evolved and how you fit into BYU football from that time to where you are now?
I'd say the coaches have really helped develop me into the kind of player they want me to be. All the players around have helped mold me into like the BYU figure that they want. The strength coaches have done an amazing job with all of us, producing us, making us faster, bigger, stronger. So yeah, I'd just say that.
I think that's been one of the themes that has come out of camp, is the bigger, stronger, faster, specifically from this strength and conditioning staff. We hear that a lot, but I've been told this year it's different. Why is that? What did they do to help you in that regard?
The thing that I mainly notice is tracking everything. Literally every little thing you can think of, they were tracking, making sure we were improving. If they saw a slight decline, they ended up holding us out a little bit that day, and then the next day we'd come in and see the improving again. So I think they were just really monitoring every situation super close, and that's what in all helped us.
In the linebackers room, obviously losing Ben Bywater, huge hit, and the experience and leadership that he brings. But I know that he's looking to you and others to step up and fill his shoes. So how has your role maybe shifted now that you know Ben is not going to be in that room?
I'd say being more vocal. Ben is a vocal guy, and if you know me, I'm not very vocal. I'm still working on that, but I've had to become more vocal, have to become a leader with all these other backers. All of us have stepped up into like that leadership role, so we're all doing a little bit of it. And then I just say helping the young guys, and they're helping me. So like we're all just helping each other get better every day.
For BYU fans that haven't seen you play and are going to be looking for number 17 on the field, where are they going to see you fit into this defensive scheme?
Inside backer mainly. I will rush off the edge a little bit, so a little bit of that. I'll be in coverage, so kind of just your typical linebacker with some pass rush involved in there as well.
Where do you feel like the defense has improved the most over the past 5 months?
I'd say knowing the scheme. We've been in the film room and every day working with each other. The coaches have been there for extra work, so I think we all understand the scheme perfectly, all the checks and everything, so I think our knowledge is what's really helping us.
You've defended very admirably and really well through fall camp from what we've been told and from what we've seen in a quarterback race. So whether it's Jake Retzlaff or Gary Bohannon or whoever in that quarterback room, what types of things has the BYU offense shown to the defense that make you feel like the offense may find some better success this year?
I'd say just improved run game from what I've seen from last year. They're definitely running the ball very well. Offensive line is physical. Receivers making great catches, running great routes. So I'd say a little bit of everything. And then the dual threat of both QBs. I think having the threat of them that they can run, like linebackers can't drop too deep. They can't not just say, oh, he's not going to run. So we have to respect that. And then I just say how fast they've been playing as well.
Now, walk us through your pre-snap reads. And for those that don't understand the linebacker position, what are you looking for when you come to the line?
I'd say the O-line's like the first key. You kind of want to see if you're given like a pass or a run tell. Then you want to see the whole formation based off where you're going to need to drop if it's pass or where you're going to fit if it's run. And then running back's demeanor, like if they're close to the quarterback, it's more likely run, wider, they think they're going out for a pass. So I'd say those are my main keys.
How much are you specifically relied upon to communicate those tells to everyone around you?
I'd say we all do our part. If one of us can see a certain tell, like from one side of the formation compared to the other, we're going to communicate that. So I think everyone on the field is doing a great job of being able to respect each other and just say, I know this is coming, so then we can trust him to know that he's right.
Who in the linebackers room do you feel like has taken significant steps in the right direction to earn more playing time and to play a prominent role in this defense?
That's tough because everyone has improved so much. Harrison Taggart and Isaiah Glasker, obviously, they're starting right now, so they've been slowing the game down and making plays. I'd say Sione Moe has done a great job. He has like 4 or 5 picks this year, just reading everything really well, running downhill. Ice, he made the transition to linebacker and has taken strides every single day, so it's been a really good thing to see him.
How would you define the culture of the defense overall in year two under Jay Hill?
I'd say discipline. We're all focused on doing our job. If we know that if we play assignment sound football, we're going to be able to make plays, and all of us are going to end up having a great career and do what we need to do, which is win football games.
Jack Kelly is with us on BYU Sports Nation. Essentially 2 weeks to go before game number one. What are the two things that you feel like BYU needs to shore up in those 2 weeks to be ready for Southern Illinois?
I'd say mainly just tidying up our doing our assignments. Obviously, we're going to still have some mistakes right now in camp, so I'd say tidying up that. And then, oh, that's tough. Let's think. I'm just going to say that one. Okay. That's good enough.
Hey, one's good enough. Yeah, like, if there's not a second clear thing, progress is being made. All right, Jack. Again, because you're in the thick of camp, you need to decompress. How do you decompress after practice to keep from going crazy and wanting to get into scuffles with these guys?
I'd say mainly just the tubs is a great way. You're still sitting with the guys and stuff, but you're just having conversations of things outside of football. And then when I go home, I like to play some Call of Duty, get on that a little bit, watch some film, just relax at my house.
Again, we've heard you are the Call of Duty king. Are you the king of Call of Duty in BYU football, in the BYU football locker room?
I would like to say so.
Who's giving you a run for your money?
Ooh, I play with Zay Glasker. He's good, too. And then Ice Mo is also really good.
Have you played the new college football game?
Yes, I have. I've been loving that.
And how do you feel you rank and your how do you feel about your overall rating in the game?
It's good. Hopefully I can improve it throughout the season. But for my first year being here, I'm happy with it.
Right on. Okay, and we'll finish with this. What's your go-to meal to get ready to play football, whether it's in camp or for a game?
I'd say the night before, like a big pasta meal. But if it's like on a game day, honestly, I like a good smoothie, like a fruit smoothie. I don't like anything that's going to be too heavy on my stomach and that's going to hurt throughout the game.
Well, that's apt because a lot of people explain your game as smooth. So give the man a smoothie. Hey. Let him get ready for LaBelle Edwards Stadium.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Thanks, Jack.
Hey, thank you so much for having me.
Okay, a smoothie for Jack Kelly as we take a look at some of his numbers from last year in his career at Weber State. Look at the number, 16.5 sacks. This is not as a DN. This is as a linebacker. Deflections, forced fumbles. This is a guy who's going to make plays. And with no Ben Bywater, the pressure is on Jack Kelly and the linebackers, but he's received a lot of attention for good reason to perform immediately.
I'm not surprised to have learned that this Terminator on the football field goes home and winds down playing Call of Duty. This is how he's wired. I'm telling you what, effective linebackers, Rob Morris, and you look back at some of the great ones, they're just wired a little bit differently that allow them to be dominant at that spot.
And sometimes there's a loose wire.
And there's sometimes. Yeah. And he's part of the answer for depth at linebacker. You know, they got six of those guys, and he may be the best, but he's part of the answer of, okay, we've got to have more than one, and here he comes from Weber State. And like you said, he's turned more heads than anybody in camp since showing up.
He's going to be turning heads in a good way, too, against the opposing offense. I'm excited to watch him play. Yeah.
After a game, he can go home and calm down.
Unwind with Call of Duty.
If you've missed any of our BYU football interviews and camp coverage, they're always waiting for you on demand, BYU Sports Nation's YouTube page or BYUSN.com.
Coming up in the Whip, the latest from BYU football practice yesterday, Zach Wilson in Denver. And what notable list did men's basketball coach Kevin Young make without coaching a game yet? This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
We invite you to follow BYU Sports Nation on social media for content throughout the day, Facebook, X, YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, all of them.
And nothing else has been created that we've added to quite yet, but expect something at some point.
It feels like we're
there.
That
list, yeah. Welcome back to Studio B. I'm Jeremy. He's Dave as we celebrate the 100th season of BYU football. Of course, we have a trivia question every day. You guys have been pretty good. Like, I've been impressed. I've been listening.
I feel like we're on a roll.
And I'm like, do I know the answer? Chris Smith, the answer yesterday, pretty good. Okay, Colton Potter, our producer, what's today's question?
All right, today's question. Starting with their first conference championship in 1965, how many outright conference championships has BYU won in program history?
Oh, come on.
Just straight up, how many? It's in the 20s, I want to say.
I'm going to say 26.
Why is 27 ringing a bell for me? Did I read that in something? 21 is sticking out to me as well.
I'm completely guessing at 26.
Well, we can think through, in the 60s. So, first one's in 65 with Virgil Carter's junior year. Second one's in 74, and then you have this nice string.
A long 12 years without a conference.
You're going to go 26?
Yeah.
I'll go 27.
You guys missed the word outright.
Oh, outright.
17 is correct.
Oh.
Six share, go
23 total.
Six share, 23. We would have been
close yep. total.
We've missed the conference context, haven't we?
Yeah, that's old school.
Like, winning the conference championship was awesome. When is BYU going to win its first Big 12 title? Do you give it within the next 5 years?
Sure. Why not?
That's the hope, right?
Yeah.
First 6 years in the league, you win one?
Yeah.
That'd be great. Is it this year? No, but hopefully you're competing next year.
Absolutely.
You're building. Let's get to today's headline.
If it was this year, it'd be awesome.
That would be awesome. We'd take that. We'd take that. We're talking about
fall. Speaking of fall, camp wraps up tomorrow as far as fall camp, 11 days from opening night against Southern Illinois. Head coach Kalani Sitake speaking to the media Monday about who's emerging in the quarterback battle.
No, I feel like we have two quarterbacks that have emerged, so that's a different feel for me. You know, so like I truly feel comfortable with either one playing on the field and winning games for us.
Offensive coordinator Aaron Roderick spoke to the media as well, was asked if he expects to take the quarterback battle up to the Southern Illinois game.
Haven't decided yet what we're going to do. I don't want to take it all the way to game time, but we do have some practice time left, and I feel like both of them are prepared. They both had enough reps in camp that they could play in a game, and so we're working our way through it still.
I'll bet you right now he's thinking about which quarterback he should go with.
Oh, watching even every rep, making that decision. Yeah.
Former BYU defensive back Chris Wilcox signed this morning by the Panthers after being released by the Chargers. He's now on his fifth NFL team. He joins Brady Christensen in Carolina. Cuts are next Wednesday.
Men's volleyball signs outside hitter Cole Hauser from Orange Coast College. The 6'3 pin hitter led the team with 159 kills, hit 375, as OCC won the last two California JUCO state titles. There's a nice group of outside hitters going into next year.
Good. Former BYU All-American Ronnie Jones-Perry had 14 kills, 7 digs, 2 blocks, helping the U.S. Women's National Team beat Puerto Rico in the 2024 Norseca Pan Am Cup over in Mexico.
Ronnie Jones-Perry, the pride of? Copper Hills.
Copper Hills.
Go. Also, Jonathan Charette is an assistant on that team. He used to play for the men's team. Great JUCO coach for a long time.
Feels like I should have known that.
Now you know. I'm the volleyball guy. I got you, Duck. And congrats to former Cougar guard Paisley Johnson-Harding. She is joining the Utah Valley women's basketball team as an assistant coach with Dan Nielsen. There seems to be a pipeline of awesome coaches coming out of women's basketball now from BYU.
Great player.
She was awesome, time. Man. Just a baller. Okay, those are today's headlines. Now let's whip it.
Speaking of quarterbacks and battles, Denver Broncos head coach Sean Payton spoke to the Athletics' Chase Daniel and Diana Rossini about Zach Wilson. Here's what he said.
This freaking Zach Wilson now, the last
playing amazing
week and a half.
It's great.
I grabbed him and I said, look, I just want you to focus on having fun and playing. My job is to make you millions either with us or for another team.
Wow.
His last 2 weeks have been outstanding.
Love that attitude. How refreshing is it to hear coach talk about Zach this way after those few seasons with the Jets?
We know Sean Payton loves BYU quarterbacks. With Taysom Hill and now Zach. Hopefully Zach can be that third guy and be in the mix, and if he doesn't stay on the Broncos, get an opportunity elsewhere.
Remember, the Jets threw out a lot of love for Zach when they got him.
Yeah.
They wanted him.
And they're
him.
Still paying for
He's
Zach.
This, and they're still paying, which feels nice.
Yeah.
But then they turned pretty quickly.
Yeah.
I love Sean Payton.
That happens. CBS Sports did a candid coaches poll for college basketball. They asked head coaches about a number of topics. And who was the best D1 men's high major coaching hire of the season? Kevin Young got 4.7% for fifth best. Look at Mark Pope there at third, 8.5 Kentucky. What do you make of this?
Get used to BYU being on lists. And being on lists with some of the big names like Calipari and those guys. Whether it's players, whether it's coaches, whether it's wins, whether it's projections, it's the dawn of a new day, and that brings on a lot of new lists.
The fact that you get Yegor Demon and the number one recruit for next year is taking an official visit and reportedly BYU's at the top of the list, are you kidding me?
That's this a list. That's
BYU's
list.
Never been in this space.
I'm telling you, we're going to be on lists.
Yes. Now you have to go and win those games, but it feels like BYU's got the coaching staff and the players to win at a level that maybe they haven't in the last several years.
Oklahoma State head coach Mike Gundy spoke to the media recently and had some interesting comments to say about the NIL situation.
Tell your agent to quit calling us and asking for more money. It's non-negotiable now. Get them to start again in December. So now we're able to direct ourselves just at football, and that part is fun.
Well, a couple of different ways on what he's talking about. I believe the context is the negotiating time is over. Do not come to my office and say, Coach, I want more money. I just had a really good game. If you want a Chick-fil-A deal, you work it out with Chick-fil-A, but don't come to me. I'm now in the business of coaching to win games.
And I understand, avoid the distractions in season. I totally get that. Well, I do have a question, though. If there is a player who was a backup who suddenly becomes a star, and say a quarterback or whatever, what now? He can't talk to the collective for, hey, I'm getting paid this, but now I'm a starter and we're winning games. Can that even be broached? Apparently not. But yeah, you go to the local car dealership and you get yourself a truck and you do a commercial.
But I think he's saying to his guys who've been lobbying for money the whole season and all of them have gotten enough to keep him there. Let's talk about the game. Don't keep saying coach. I mean, that's happened even at BYU where there's some guys just wear the coach out. I'm not your bank. Right now, we're to win some games. So you win some games, the bank will be open in December.
I think the collective, to a degree, is your bank a little. So I think that I would like that conversation to be a little more open, maybe. But also, Mike Gundy's going to say what Mike Gundy wants to say. We heard that earlier this summer. I'm 40. I'm a man. Like, he's going to say what he wants.
If I'm his defensive back, I know that I'm not going to his office today going, coach, I'd like some more money.
I would love a podcast from Mike Gundy. Or just weekly, he just says what he thinks. That would be funny. He and Dabo Swinney should connect. That'd be fun. Yeah. Okay, coming up, BYU starting left tackle Caleb Etienne joins the program on why this offensive line is better and how going up against Tyler Batty every day in practice is making him better. This is BYU Sports Nation.
Everything starts with the upfront guys. BYU needs to continue to develop an upfront strategy.
You know, the standard has been set pretty high, and they've answered the bell every single day. Like guys like Connor Pay, Braden Kine, Caleb Etienne, those guys have really taken ownership.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation in Studio B. Jerem Jordan alongside Dave McCann. Certainly the offensive line last year got a lot of negative press because the run game didn't play well. BYU didn't win. These guys feel very motivated, maybe none more than Caleb Etienne, to prove himself, try and get in the NFL draft next year. I talked to Caleb after practice yesterday. All right, Caleb, we're nearing the end of fall camp. Southern Illinois preparation coming up in a bit, but how would you summarize fall camp so far?
I summarize it like, you know, we had some good work this fall camp. I feel like the guys really got closer. You know, we had also went up to I forgot what the name of the camp was. Like, we went up there last weekend, did some, like, you know, just team activity stuff, just, you know, trying to get that bond, you know, together and, like, stronger as we getting ready for the season. I feel like, you know, we did good. You know, we just been just going against each other, not hurting each other, but, you know, just trying to get each other better each and every day. So I feel like it's been going well.
What were some of those activities?
We had went to the lake. They had a lake out there. Just had went boating. They had some food out there for us. So I mean, it was pretty fun. Did some little board game stuff like that. Camping in the fire, just chilling, eating some s'mores, stuff like that. So good time to just bond and, you know your brothers and like stuff like that, getting closer.
That's a perfect August weekend activity in Utah. Right. So congratulations, that's awesome. We all want to get to that point. Who's the best hang on the team? Like when you're out as a team like that, who's the guy where you're like, I want to be by him, he's fun.
Batty, he's pretty interesting, I ain't gonna lie. He's used to the camping lifestyle. You know, he was out there, he had a big old knife on his hip, so he was ready for anything to come out there and, you know, attack him. But Batty, he's a good guy to be around, I guess, out there. And I go against him every day, so I mean, you know, just getting closer with him as well is just, you know, making each other better and just, you know, making that bond even stronger.
He's from Payson. Yeah. So he's probably got a cowboy hat and boots. He's got the knife he set on his hip, like a big knife?
Yeah, it was a big old, like, Bowie knife, so he was ready. Nah, he's a good guy, though. He's good. He didn't mean no harm. He was just protecting the team, you know, protecting his brothers, you know. It did get wild out there, so we was in the middle of nowhere, but, yeah, it was fun.
He probably symbolically applies that to being a defensive end or something. You talked about you go up against him all the time. You want to win all those battles, yet – that's a guy that you obviously respect. What's that relationship like with a guy that you face off with every day?
I mean, it's like iron sharpening iron. You know, he's good. He's bringing his tools, you know, and I'm bringing my tools, like trying to get better at like trying to work on every day. So I mean, he's a good competitor. You know, he's gonna bring the best out of you each and every day, and I'm gonna try to, you know, give him my best reps at every time so he could, you know, be a good pass rusher and a run blocker.
You ever share tips like, okay, as a defensive end, this would have worked on me, or does he share it with you?
We don't really do all. I mean, even if like, we did one on ones, he liked to, you know, try to do spins and stuff like that. You know, he'll just tell me what he tried to do and stuff like that. But yeah, like he'll just tell me what he wanted to do if it didn't work and stuff like that. I'll be like, yeah, you almost had it, you always got it, you know. But nah, he's good work though. He got me on some good stuff. He got me on one on ones before, you know, just good competition. So, yeah.
You guys have talked a lot about, hey, we were better than what we showed last year. Where do you feel like you are already better going into the season from last year's offensive line play?
Yeah. I feel like I'm better, like, far, like, way better than last year, you know, just in the playbook, just knowing what my assignment is, and just knowing where to go at, and just, you know, going out there playing fast. I feel like I was all over, you know, last year, you know, just bumping from guard, right tackle. So if I'm really, like, I'm set on left tackle right now, main focus, that's all I've been playing. So I've just been learning that spot position and just, you know, crafting every day on that. So I've been doing really good and feeling good. So I'm excited.
What changed against Oklahoma and Oklahoma State with this line to where you guys were really good that you think might be applicable this year?
I mean, like Oklahoma State, you know, they run a really fast offense. I feel like, you know, here it's just more like, you know, pro style is more like more slower, like not too slow, but, you know, it's still, you know, where you could be able to, like, you know, retain it and just go out there and just play. You don't have to worry about stressing or like trying to like confuse yourself on what to do. So I just feel like it's more slowed down and understanding.
So, and in those last two games last year, when the run game was way better, was there something that was vastly different than you think you guys can apply in game one this year?
The last two games, I mean, yeah, we had some good stuff going in, you know, for them last two games. I feel like, yeah, you just got to pick up where we left off at, you know, got some, a lot of the guys on the O-line, as you know, that played a lot. So, I mean, we all know what we could do and what we're capable of doing. Just got to go out there and just attack and just do our assignment and be physical and play fast. So we could just open the holes and run the ball and protect, you know, whoever the starting quarterback going to be.
What's that moment like when the five of you gather and obviously the skill positions come in and the quarterback, and it's like you huddle up and you're about to break the huddle? What's that moment like emotionally for you as you kind of get the excitement of that, yet kind of retain which play are we running? What are we doing?
Yeah, I mean, it's exciting, especially on our game day. You know, you get that feeling, like you get that gut feeling, like, you know, you're nervous, but you're not nervous. Like it's a, like you're ready nervous, but, you know, you just – You waited for this moment, you know, so long. Like, you had all the grinding you did, finally started. You know, it's finally finna be here. Like next week, 2 weeks from now. So, I mean, I'm excited. You know, we all rally up in the huddle and, you know, say that first play. That's when it all starts. So, I mean, it's gonna be here real soon. Before you know.
Are you ready to move on to Southern Illinois prep and kind of finish fall camp?
Yeah, I'm ready. I'm tired of just banging up and beating on the D-line and they beating on us. So, I mean, I'm excited. I'm ready to get the ball rolling so we can finally get some good stuff going here.
This is your fifth year in college. You've been at three different schools. How are you going to make this memorable for you so that you could be an NFL draft pick type coming next year?
Yeah, I'm just going to play my best every game. Shoot, leave it all out there on the field. Shoot, I mean, how I want to be remembered. So I just got to go out there and ball. Don't worry about none of the other stuff. Just focus every week, like my assignment, who I'm going against, and just go out there, play fast and physical, and just have a good game.
And the biggest Caleb Etienne fan in the world might be your 3-year-old son, I take it?
Yeah, that's my boy, 3-year-old, just turned 3 on the 30th. So yeah, he's my junior, he's my world, he's my everything. He looks up to me. He's a goofball. So I mean, I love him to death though. Yeah, it's my boy.
What's his name?
Caleb Jr.
Caleb Jr. You said Jr. There you go. Oh, and I was told I had to ask you about competition with LJ Martin on College Football 25.
Yeah, recently we just played. You know, he got BYU, I got Kansas State. Had to make it a little fair matchup or whatever. And I mean, he thought he could beat me. Ended up not happening and made him quit. So maybe next time, little guy. But yeah.
Do you ever switch to be the left tackle, Caleb Etienne, in the game, and you're like, I'll just block on this one?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard. I'm not going to do all that. The roster's all type of messed up on there. I'll just let them fix it whenever they fix it. But like,
you're saying the ratings?
Yeah, not the positions. They got me at right guard.
Oh, they have you at right guard. Yeah, come on.
I mean, whenever they, I guess, if they watch the game, BYU game, hopefully they know that I'm at left tackle. So, yeah.
Well, Caleb, best of luck on continued preparation, and thanks for the time.
No problem. Appreciate it. Let's go. Go Cougars.
Caleb Etienne, that's a big boy. And BYU's got a big line. Look at this. 1,575 pounds of pure beef with Caleb Etienne at left tackle. This is a projected potential starting lineup. Waylon Lapuahu at left guard. Waylon's hilarious, by the way, yeah, when you hear him play. Connor Pay is a very tall center and capable and a really good 6'5 right there. Sonny Macassini and Austin Leusa, the transfer from Southern Utah, still battling at right guard. And then Braden Keim right there. The short guy is 6'3 on this line. There's two 6'8", 6'9 tackles.
They all eat a lot, for sure. And you remember the movie Blindside. Caleb's got the blindside.
Yeah.
He's going to keep his quarterback alive. It's different from last year. He's in a different place. We heard that in that interview. Last year he was lost. He's the first to admit it, coming in from the portal. And then all of a sudden you're in the lineup. That's the downside of the portal for a program that needs a quick fix. when a kid can come in and adapt and evolve, then you end up with the Caleb they believe they have this season. Yep. He'll be huge on that O-line.
Yeah, can't wait to watch these guys. They feel like, Connor Pay said, we left yards on the field last year. They're very motivated.
Women's soccer back on the field. Thursday night, they're on the road at number 12, St. Louis. Cougars ranked third after knocking off 18th-ranked Wisconsin. It's the Cougars and Billikens, 8 o'clock Eastern time, ESPN Plus, Thursday night.
After the break, today's Rise and Shoutout features an incredible throw from Rich, BYU quarterback in practice yesterday. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
BYU Sports Nation, Jerem Jordan, Dave McCann in the house. Top 5 Tuesday for you, the top 5 openers in the Kalani Sitake era where he is 7-1.
All right, let's start with number 5. There's kind of an Arizona theme, so let's get to the Wildcats right away. Here's number 5 in the 2018 season opener on the road in Tucson. Squally, Canada, 3 rushing touchdowns, 98 yards. There's Tanner Mangum. Touchdown to Matt Bushman.
It's from Tucson, Dave.
Absolutely. BYU defense holds off a late Wildcat rally. They win 28-23, went 7-6 in 2018.
2021 versus Arizona. This was in Allegiant Stadium. Second Arizona game on the list. Opened the year, Tyler Algier rushing touchdown to Jaren Hall, to Neil Pau touchdowns, up 21-3 early in this one. Hayden Livingston with the interception in the end zone late in the fourth quarter to seal the win. The first of 5 wins against the Pac-12 that year, en route to a 10-3 record. This was a tremendous year for BYU football. Hayden Livingston with the INT coming up. That was a tremendous play for us.
So fun down in Vegas.
Mr. Livingston.
Allegiant Stadium, you know, it was brand new, and BYU put a big crowd in there as expected.
Took the pregame show down there.
Yeah.
It was fun.
That was something else.
Interviewed Rudy in the pregame.
We should
I asked
do that
if he was
often.
Offside in the movie. He said, was I? I said, no. He goes, there you go.
Rudy's great. Let's go all the way. Let's go from Vegas over to South Florida. Number 3, this is 2022 BYU and the Bulls. They've been playing each other back and forth. Puka Nacua taking a jet sweep, 75 yards for a touchdown.
What a way to open the year.
First play. And there goes
Chris Brooks,
who's in Florida trying to win a job
he's
with
still
the
in Florida.
Dolphins, and he's doing really well. Cougars went at 50-21. Who was the quarterback for South Florida in that game? It was Gary Bohannon.
Yeah.
Max Tooley took a pick six into the end zone, and he thanked Gary for that.
Speaking of Max Tooley trying to make NFL roster with the Texans, he's having a great camp. Okay, number 2, 2016 versus Arizona. 3 of the top 5 against Arizona. I'm sensing a theme here. Kalani's first game as head coach. And again, 3 of these in NFL stadiums, by the way. Look at that. Kainakua, all kinds of Pau's and Nakua's. And, oh, the field goal to win it by Jake Oldroyd, the green cleat, the legend. Starts a 9-4 year where BYU played tons of close games. A great way to start the Kalani Sitake year.
Lots of studs on that team. Taysom Hill, Jamal Williams. A lot of NFL guys
Bobby
on
Lummy.
That team.
Yep.
Absolutely. All right, various Arizona highlights here we're enjoying. Let's go to number 1. And it's got to be Navy in the 2020 opener, the COVID season where so much of college football had shut down. So they put BYU and Navy on Monday Night Football, Labor Day night, for the whole world to see because there was nothing else to see. The Cougars rushed for 301 yards. Tyler Algier started his campaign to become an NFL running back. Zach Wilson starting his campaign to become the number 2 overall pick. They killed Navy 55-3, went on to finished 11-1, no fans in the stands. We had game day and everyone else sitting at home because you couldn't go outside. And we're watching BYU football right in the middle of COVID. What a weird time that was.
Spencer was reporting from the press box on Zoom. It was just what you had to do, right?
Yeah.
In that moment. Navy after said, yeah, we didn't practice tackling during fall camp.
Probably.
Well,
should've.
We saw what happened Probably in the game should've. When that happened.
There's a memory maker for an opener in the Kalani era.
55-3. Our question of the day, how do you feel about BYU not naming a starting quarterback quite yet? Our Elite Voice of the Day is presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated. Royal Kugan X. Just please choose one by game day and only one, please, only one. I
he
can guarantee
to.
They'll choose by game day. And more than likely, just one.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't get the vibe that they're going to go with two.
No, doesn't feel like it. Yeah. And it feels like we'll know that one here in the next couple of days.
We'll see.
It feels like it.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Thursday, Monday, we'll see, man. Today's Rise and Shoutout presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics. We saw this in the media portion yesterday at practice. Jake Retzlaff just dropping a dime to Cody Epps in practice yesterday. Spectacular photos grabbed by BYU photo. Oh, into the breadbasket of Cody Epps, an incredible play. Our thanks to today's guests, Jack Kelly and Caleb Etienne.
Conversation continues 24/7 on X, Instagram, and Facebook. All our shows are on demand on BYUSN.com.
Sorry to Dennis Pitta, even after 7 weeks, still no time. For Dave, I'm Jerem. Shout out to John Ogden. Go Cougs. One day closer, baby.